Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Gina R. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, October 10th, 2018. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we are at page 135. First paragraph, beginning, whether the family goes, reading through three paragraphs ending, we're being rapidly cured. Comments will be on all three paragraphs. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Carrie S., 12 Traditions, Cindy D. Our readers are Penny L.C., Liat T.D., and Wendy M. And our newcomer greeter will be Melanie C. The reference numbers for Tuesday, October 9th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 12,019. And Wednesday, October 10th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, 12,025. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Carrie S. to read the 12 steps.
Thank you, Gina, for your service. This is Carrie S., recovered in Golden, Colorado. The 12 steps. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
Thank you, Carrie S. I will now ask Cindy D. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. This is Cindy D. from Texas. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me do service, and I pass.
Thank you, Cindy D. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 135, beginning with the first paragraph, Whether the Family Goes, reading through 3 paragraphs ending, We're Being Rapidly Cured. Comments will be on all 3 paragraphs. I will ask Penny L.C. to begin reading.
Thank you very much, Gina. Good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. And this is the Big Book. Whether the family goes on a spiritual basis or not, the alcoholic member has to, if he would recover. The others must be convinced of his new status beyond the shadow of a doubt. Seeing is believing to most families who have lived with a drinker. Here is a case in point. One of our friends is a heavy smoker and coffee drinker. There was no doubt he overindulged. Seeing this and meaning to be helpful, his wife commenced to admonish him about it. He admitted he was overdoing these things, but frankly said that he was not ready to stop. His wife is one of those persons who really feels there's something rather sinful about these commodities, so she nagged, and her intolerance finally threw him into a fit of anger. He got drunk. Of course, our friend was wrong, dead wrong. He had to painfully admit that and mend his spiritual fences. Though he is now a most effective member of Alcoholics Anonymous, he still smokes and drinks coffee, but neither his wife nor anyone else stands in judgment. She sees she was wrong to make a burning issue out of such a matter when his more serious ailments were being rapidly cured. And that's the end of the section I'm to read. And in reflecting on these paragraphs, I think the first statement is the most important, that the alcoholic has to live on a spiritual basis if he is to recover. And that is the primary focus for my recovery today. I know that if I am not seeking what God would have me be, in this moment, then I am not able to be in that safe, protected place of knowing that my recovery is in balance. And I also need to realize that keeping my spiritual fitness a priority means that I have work to do. I need to do the work around that. I need to take the time to foster my relationship with my higher power, with prayer and meditation and connectedness throughout the day. I need to be willing to do the work necessary when I do get out of balance, when I am disturbed, so that I can get back in line with what my higher power would have me be. In this case, given here, it's easy to see where both parties were, falling short. Of course, the wife would have been better served to not be trying to change the husband. But by the same token, the husband was off balance by allowing it to get to a place of anger. For me, I know that no matter what anyone else does, acceptance is the key to what I can do to navigate through the ups and downs of life. And if that were the case, then I would need to be accepting of the other person and their need. But by the same token, it would be up to me to voice how I was feeling and what my needs were, and see if there couldn't be some type of a compromise, or at least an understanding that could be reached. I need to be able to do these things today to keep my abstinence, to keep my balance, to keep my spiritual fitness.
Time.
And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Penny LC. Okay, we are on page 135, starting with that first paragraph, reading for three paragraphs, ending with, "We're being rapidly cured." Who would like to share?
Rebecca R.
Something
Jim
R.
B.
Roz G.
P.S.
Becca R.
Okay, hold on. Who was the very first one? Was it Becca R.?
No, it was Roz G.
Oh, Roz G.
Jambia.
Someone R.
Florida.
Someone R. Okay, let me tell you who I've got. I've got Jan B., Roz G., Pia S.
Wendy N.
Becca R.
Becca R., thank you. And
Lynn
Wendy M.
Shawnee B.
All right, I'm going to stop there with Shawnee. This is who I've got. Becca R., Jan B., Roz G., Pia S., Wendy M., Lynn S., Shawnee B. Did I miss anybody in that grouping? Okay, great. Becca, please go ahead, and you'll be followed by Jan B. Becca, please press star 1 to unmute.
Hi, this is Becca R. Can I be heard?
Yes.
Hi. Becca R. from Kentucky, compulsive overeater, recovered. The thing that really stuck out to me in the reading was that it's my spiritual fitness that has to be in check. And so often one of my biggest character defects is expecting other people's spiritual condition to be in check as to suit me, specifically with the people around me the most, my husband, my family, my kids, my sponsees, my sponsor. But that's what I heard in this reading. I have to say that, there's part of me that wants to get political, as this is two wives, but that's neither here nor there. I'm not even going to go there. But
that's the recovery that I have to focus on, is my spiritual fitness, my spiritual maintenance, and that's all I have to share. Thanks.
Thank you, Becca R. Jan B., you'll be next, followed by Roz G. Please go ahead, Jan.
Good morning. This is Jan B. in Colorado, and I'm so happy to be on the line this morning, and I thought I would offer to speak so God doesn't have to do it like he had to do it yesterday. My name came up, and I wasn't even offering to share. So, but anyway, I was reflecting back when I came into program. I weighed 228 pounds, and I was just so heavily addicted in so many ways. Again, I was a smoker and drank coffee and all of that kind of stuff. And I had tried so many times to change my behaviors, but I just couldn't do it because there wasn't a spiritual basis. It's like right in the first line that the spiritual basis is just so much required. So it was amazing what happened is I found a sponsor, and I really didn't tell her the truth about the smoking, that sort of thing, because I knew that she wouldn't sponsor me if she found out. So eventually I did tell her, and she was supportive in helping me quit, which was so wonderful because I'd already lost 30 pounds, and I was like so excited about seeing changes in my behavior. So the miracle that happened is that I ended up losing 70 pounds, I quit smoking, all in six months' time. And I had tried and tried for years and years to do that, and I just never was capable of doing that. And that's the beauty of this program. You know, again, I had to put the coffee down, too. You know, lumps in my breast. I have had so many warning signs to please don't do this. I could just see God pleading, please don't do this anymore. It's so bad for you. And so I was able to really put that down. And again, the key is a spiritual basis. And that's the beauty of this program. Nagging just doesn't seem to work. It's that beautiful, loving support. And of course, that person that went back out again was totally wrong too. But I think it's really good for us to remember the gentle, loving, caring ways in supporting other people. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Jan B. Roz G., you're up next, followed by Pia S. Please go ahead, Roz.
Good morning. My name is Roz G., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And I'm in Los Angeles County, and this reading today reminds me, well, I'd like to say this morning I heard a beautiful share by one of our very, you know, well-known people about how this person is still discovering things that were a problem.
Hello?
Yeah,
we've lost you.
Happened.
There you go.
So, yeah, okay, I'm sorry. Something happened with the muting. Anyway, the person had shared that they're still discovering things about themselves, and this is the onion layer. Okay, so I started off in Al-Anon. I was addicted to men and relationships, unhealthy ones. Then I went to debtors, and I was at a problem with money and spending, and OA, I have a problem with eating. Now it's social media. I am addicted to social media. I need attention. I need to know what's going on. I need everybody to know how much weight I'm losing, how I'm progressing in my career, what degrees I'm getting, how I look. You know, but it, you know what I heard this morning? I heard that, once again, I'm a human being. I have an addictive personality. I have a need for attention. I'm driving my car right now, so I'm going to stop in a minute. It's okay. It's just that I think that I'm a human being, and I will always have something that I need to deal with and use the steps with.
Raj, you're bouncing back out again.
I'm going to go ahead and pass because it looks like I'm having problems with muting. But thank you for whatever you heard and whatever I shared. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Roz. Sorry about the technology mix-up. Okay, Pia S., you'll be up next, followed by Wendy M. Please go ahead, Pia.
Oh, thank you, Gina. Thank you so much for your service and for this meeting. What really stood out to me today is where it talks about seeing is believing to most families who have lived with a drinker. And I'm thinking, I can say I'm recovered, you know. I can say that I live on a spiritual basis and say that I believe in God and these spiritual principles. But it doesn't really matter if I don't live it. I have to practice this way of living. I mean, I made so many sweet promises to my friends and my family, but I failed them so many times, and I still can fail them. Because I'm a human, and I can still try to control my husband sometimes and nag at him and, you know, comment on his driving and how he does things. And I can also still yell at my daughter sometimes for not listening to me. But it wasn't until I came into this program that things started to changing. And by working these steps, God started working in me and through me. And I started to change. And because these steps unblocked me from my higher power, I'm becoming a walking evidence of that this program works. There's still a lot of areas in my life, and you know, I really like when people are talking about layers of the onion, because there's still a lot of stuff going on. But it's like this program is giving me the tools that I need, and God is giving me the strength that I need to look into those areas. Before, I was terrified of going there, but now I know that, okay, there are more and more things that show up, and I can use this program, and with God's help, I can, you know, try to heal those these areas in my life. But I need to be doing this. I need to live on a spiritual basis every day. I can't expect my family to do it, but I got to do it. And I'm so thankful that I'm doing it with all of you guys every day, and appreciate you all. And thank you so much, Dina. I'll pass.
And thank you, Pia S. Wendy M., you're up next, followed by Lynn S. Please go ahead, Wendy.
Yes, good morning. It's Wendy M., gratefully recovered in Boulder, Colorado. And I thank God for entire abstinence this morning. And Gina R., thank you so much for your service this morning. So the word that speaks to me is nag, right? So I picked up the tool of nagging last night, and I don't recommend this particular tool. But, you know, first we just have to take a look, awareness and then acceptance, right? So when I'm nagging, I am going to repeat something over and over and over and over again until I get the effect that I want, right? Until I can completely control the other person and get them to say or do exactly what I need, you know. And when I nag, I'm nagging because, and I did this last night with my boyfriend, I made him my higher power. So if I make him my higher power, then he's got to get everything right so that I get my way, so that all my needs will get met, right? So I'm working with the assumption that he's my higher power. I need to nag him. I need to control his behavior. I need to control when he does, what he does, when he does it, and how he does it, right? This is really exhausting. It's stressful. I don't recommend it. But I was completely in the nagging mode last night, and I was because I didn't take responsibility for myself. You know, I'm a child. He's the parent. Let's go. So I will say also that so I don't recommend nagging. And the way it works for me is that if it gets bad enough, right, if I'm desperate enough, if this technique is not working, I will likely finally get on my knees. I will likely finally call all of you. Instead of calling him and nagging, I'll call you, right, because you're God with skin. And I didn't do that. So again, I don't recommend it. And I went to bed like angry, right? I was still rehearsing in my head when I was sleeping how I have evidence that he's harmed me, and I can, you know, convince him that in fact he needs to change. Okay, so none of this is working. That's the good news. And then it says seeing is believing, right? So it's not what I say, it's what I do. And, you know, in the conversation, I apologized to him. And you know what? I didn't mean a word of it. I apologized as a method of self-seeking so I could get, again, something from him, right? So anytime I'm trying to get from another human being, I have made them my higher power. I must control them, and I have to be right. I've got to win the argument. It takes a lot of effort. You know, I lived on a human basis. I did not live on a spiritual basis until this morning when I got a chance to sponsor somebody and they were able to sponsor me back. You know, and they said, what would God have you be? You know, what would it look like if God was in your world? Would you have to nag? Would you have to control? And then finally, there's this piece about making a burning issue out of such a matter. Oh, my God, I do that all the time, right? And the question is, how important is it? How important is it, really? And I'm making a burning issue out of such a matter because, again, I'm trying to control another so that I can get my needs met from them. And I don't recommend it. It's about getting, not giving. Thank you.
Thank you, Wendy M. Okay, Lynn S., you're up next, followed by Shawnee B., and then after Shawnee, we'll take a new grouping. So get ready to press star one, especially you newcomers. Please go ahead, Lynn.
Good morning. This is Lynn S., a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. You know, I didn't come into Overeaters Anonymous because I had a burning desire to eat healthy, well-balanced meals. I came into Overeaters Anonymous because I could not stop eating. I could not stop, whether I put 1 ounce of diet cheese on a diet Triscuit in my mouth or I put a whole cheesecake in my mouth. Once I started eating, I could not stop, and I'd scared myself. I didn't even want to come in to lose weight anymore because I had lost 100 pounds consecutively since I was 16 and lost my first 100 pounds. So I was always either for the next 20 years, I was either gaining 100 pounds plus or losing 100 pounds. I was never maintaining anything. But the reason I came in was I had scared myself silly because I could not stop eating, and I knew there was something wrong with me because it couldn't be that God looked down and said, I want the whole world to be happy except for you, Lynn Skilling, and I want you to be miserable. So I knew there was something wrong. And the reason these particular paragraphs speak to me about that is often I hear people struggling so much and they're getting a healthy food plan and they want to be healthy and they want to do this, that, and the other thing. And I get it, and that's wonderful. I can do that. I can read Canada's Food Guide, give me a sheet of paper with something to eat. Well, you know what? Truthfully, I can't do it anymore, and that's another reason why I came in. I just can't do that because I lived my whole life by eating off a piece of paper, and it doesn't work for me. But what did work for me and what gave me the grace to be able to stop compulsively overeating and to stop performing compulsive food behaviors was the program as it is outlined in the big book, which stopped that insidious, you know, identified my alcoholic foods. When I don't put my alcoholic foods in my mouth, I don't start that allergy of the body and the obsession of the mind. Working the steps removes the obsession of my mind, lets God in to remove the character defects that are driving me insane, and start that obsession of the mind that say eating is better than anything else. And I'm not putting down anybody who wants to eat healthy. That's great. And maybe, you know, I'm in year 30 now. Maybe I'll get around to that too. But what I do have is that the obsession with the food is down. I eat one plate of food, thank you, 3 times a day. There is no desire to binge. And that's what I've gotten from program. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Lynn S. Shawnee B., you're next. And once Shawnee's done, I'll take a new grouping to get us to 10 minutes to the hour. Please go ahead, Shawnee.
Hi, thank you for letting me share. I'm Shawnee B. So I kind of wanted to share along like a bit of a different part of this. So I wasn't sure if I wanted to get on the meeting today because I knew it was going to be about the family. And I'm like, you know, I don't know how much like the idea, like I'm not an alcoholic, I'm an overeater. So I don't know, you know, how effective my family really is. You know, I was kind of having like those thoughts. And then I read the first line, whether the family goes on a spiritual basis or not. The alcoholic member has to if he would recover. And so I just got done celebrating the Jewish holidays, and I was with my whole family together. And, you know, ever since I got into program, you know, my recovery is first every time. You know, I make the time for it and nothing comes between it. Over the holidays, my family kept saying, you're fine, you're not, like, you're fine, like, you're just a lot, you know, overweight. You don't have to, like, be so focused on, like, making sure you make it to meetings, and, like, these things were getting into my head. And I actually relapsed. It was just so devastating. And I realized that for myself as an overeater, I don't know about for others, but for myself, it's lonely because, you know, like the spiritual basis is something where I'm kind of there like alone, without like the support of my family really understanding, so to speak. And so I'm really happy that I was on this meeting today because I know for a lot of people, like this meeting speaks to other, you know, parts of their recovery. But for me, this is really healing in terms of like the relapse that I had, you know, being with my family and being told like, you're fine. Like nobody's addicted to food. Like that doesn't make sense. And I, you know, these thoughts kind of really got into my head, and I pray for the guidance and the wisdom to always put my program first, and to put my recovery first, no matter what. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Thank you, Shawnee B. Okay, we can take some names for our next grouping. If you're just joining us, we're on page 135. The first paragraph beginning, whether the family goes, reading through three paragraphs, ending, we're being rapidly cured, and we're commenting on all three of those paragraphs. Who would like to share?
Linda S.
Susan H. I think I heard Linda S. Susan
Andrea
H.
H.
Andrea.
Andrea.
Laura R. TD. Laura R. All right, I heard four people. Andrea S., Susan H., Liat TD, Laura R. Did I miss someone? All right, we'll go with those and see how far we get. We might have time for one or two more after that. So, Andrea S., please go ahead.
Morning, everybody. Andrea S. here from Arizona. The first sentence, whether or not the family is on a spiritual basis, the alcoholic must be if he is to recover, and the others must be convinced of this new status, seeing is believing to family members. And I, for me, the family is not on a spiritual basis, but one of the things I've had to do is to show them how much I need to be spiritually fit in order to be free of compulsive eating. And so I've often felt like they consider this whole program woo-woo stuff, but they've also seen me relapse when I wasn't spiritually fit and then return to a state of willingness to surrender and willingness to pray and willingness to do my tools. And then they've seen me in that state of spiritual fitness, free of compulsive eating. So it's been very important to me to make a distinction, a strong distinction between my wants and my needs, because my needs are always taken care of by God. And if I'm working the program, my needs are always taken care of. When I get into wants, whether it's cigarettes, coffee, or anything else, shopping, I mean, my wants mean that my ego has reared its head and my addict brain, more is better. And it really doesn't matter whether it's food, whether it's coffee, whether it's new clothes. I mean, I can use anything in my addict brain to delude myself into thinking, oh, if I only had more of that, I would be happy. And all of it is a desire to change my mood instead of accept that at that moment in time, my addict brain is trying to lead me down the devil's road into some form of compulsive doing. It doesn't even have to be eating, but I'm a compulsive personality. That is my personality. And the only way I can be free of anything, much less food, is to be spiritually fit and to live in a state of complete and total surrender and to realize that if I want something, it's probably better that I do the opposite. I mean, I've gotten that extreme with myself. And a couple of recent examples of that where I wanted to go see my brother, and yet I knew that I would tire myself out if I did that, and more is not better. Even when it comes to family relations, more is not better. And so I'm really trying to keep that distinction in the forefront of my mind. Is this something I need or is this something I want? Because wants are very dangerous to my addict brain, and God takes care of my needs. So those are some of the reminders I absolutely love, that my family realizes now how much I need God in my life. And it doesn't matter to me that they don't need God. They're not all addicts. So I try to stay on my side of the fence and let them see that God is my only hope. Thank you, Andrea S., Arizona.
Thank you, Andrea S. Susan H., you're up next, followed by Liat T.D. Please go ahead, Susan.
Good morning. Susan H., compulsive overeater in Colorado. It's funny, the previous share, I almost wanted to echo everything. But for me, when I stopped drinking and how I got through the first days, the first week, was I just let myself eat whatever I wanted. And I have to say that, you never know, I almost felt like that worked just to get me through that first week. But I could see that my compulsive overeating was going to skyrocket. And it turned out my drinking had nothing to do with alcohol. It had to do with the enjoyment of the sugars in the alcohol. And it helped me get that out. And then I know that, you know, those first few weeks of abstinence are always difficult. And I think part of the big book is trying to say, you know, do what you can to at least detox it with something mild, right? If it's just a cup of coffee, you know, you got to do what you got to do. But as so many people have shared, is my main thought was we know when we're turning to something comforting, like a good movie, a bubble bath, walks with friends, cleaning our house, things that really make us feel good versus an addiction, which is overspending on a credit card or drinking 10 cups of coffee. You know, one time I used to chew gum or drink tons of diet soda. And I, you know, there's such a difference, and I know the difference. And I just have to get really honest with myself and with my higher power on when am I making myself feel better to just kind of get through that detox period and kind of treat myself to maybe a good movie and a hot bubble bath versus I'm going to go spend $2,000 on a credit card, right? So I know the difference. And I know if I jump from addiction to addiction, you know, I'm avoiding what I really don't want to avoid, which is my relationship with my higher power, my relationship with myself, and my relationships with others. So with that, I will work on those relationships today, and thank you all for the shares, and have a great Wednesday. I'll pass.
Thank you, Susan H. Liat TD, you're up next, followed by Laura R. Please go ahead, Liat.
Thank you, Gina. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, good. Good morning, everybody. There's so much that everybody said that I was thinking of, so I hope it's... I was thinking, you know, what also grabbed me was that whether the family goes on a spiritual basis or not, the alcoholic member has to if he would recover. And, you know, so when God came between food and me over 18 years ago, I remember I had a sponsor. I was on the gray sheet, so I had a sponsor. She gave me the food plan, and I was very strict. And I remember it was allowed to drink diet sodas and have gums and processed food and artificial flavoring and sweeteners. And I was going nuts. I mean, I didn't want to binge anymore. I followed the food plan to the T, but I was just going nuts with all those artificial stuff. And I remember asking her what, and I'm so grateful. I mean, she was definitely led by God. I asked her, am I binging? You know, what's going on here? And she said, no, you're not. You just go ahead and do as much as you want. Whatever comes between God and you will have to go, just like the food did. And I had that glimpse of like a comparison to the alcoholic. You know, my husband, when he came, you know, he was just smoking, like drinking coffee and having cookies. And today he doesn't do it anymore, you know, because at some point it came between God and him. And so this process, you know, whatever gets eliminated on the path, God has to do, you know, higher power has to do. You can't fix a sick mind with a sick mind. I can't change anything, but I can do the simple, you know, work that is required and then let God, you know, wait. And sometimes it's uncomfortable. And so, you know, I need to be restored to sanity. Sanity comes from the word sanus, which means health. So I need to be restored to health. And I can't restore to health myself because I'm sick. So, you know, I no longer, many years, I no longer do all those diets. I don't need their assistance. I have, you know, my God has grown enough that the diet sodas, you know, but over the years, there's so many other things popped up. Gossip, manipulation, overdoing. Every time something else pops up. And, you know, and I know today that only God can remove them. Only God can. And God does it in his time, in God's time and his ways. Sometimes I am bathed with character defect. Bathed. Just pours on me. And I think this is it. It's over. But I continue to do the work, and God shows up, and he restores me to sanity, he removes it. I love you all.
Thank you, Liat TD. Laura R., you're next, and then I think we'll have time for maybe two more shares after Laura. Please go ahead, Laura.
Laura R. from Colorado. Can I be heard?
Please go ahead, Laura.
You can hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Wow. Oh, my goodness. So excited. I was listening to the meeting this morning, and I just, reading these paragraphs, it just got me into a place of such gratitude and flashback. over 14 years ago, I entered into a 12-step program, and looking at how God has taken me from where I was at 27 years old to where I am today at 42 years old and new in Overeaters Anonymous. I am just humbled and grateful, and I've just been crying in my car because he is so good. And when I read these paragraphs, I just think of grace, and I love first things first, live and let live, easy does it. I came in 12-step 14 years ago, coming in hot, and I did not know it. And, you know, and he needed to first take away the alcohol. It was causing a lot of damage in my life. And again, I just thought it was about the drinking, and I had no idea that I was going to be on this long, amazing road of reconstruction ahead. And it's so cool. I think of the men had to go. There was a lot of shame around that. I had to do a lot of step work around that. Again, I was single when I first came into program, but able to put down that for a while, and then found my husband. Then being in a family with 7 years sober, and not having the tools to be equipped to be married as a stepmom with three kids, one with special needs, and then an ex-wife. You know, we were just so sick. But to see God, I've been married to my husband for 8 years, and to see him take me from where I was throwing muffins across the garage thinking that his ex-wife ate one, or throwing water in my stepson's face, to now being able to make amends to him multiple times, just deepening and deepening and deepening awareness of selfishness, and it's unbelievable. And the last 2 years, I had been had to put down smoking too, and that was so hard. And in the last 2 years, I have been in this cycle of eating, and my husband's had to be, you know, had to be there for that. And I cannot wait, because I'm at the beginning stages, and I'm talking with my sponsor today. And I did go through the steps at one point, had such a spiritual experience, but forgot to continue 10, 11, and 12. So I relapsed, and now I get to go through this process again. And I am so excited to go through the steps and watch this, the refinement happen. And so I can be more of maximum service, because ultimately, like when I started to unthaw, what I want is love. And it is so darn hard to love, because my character defects fly over, and then I scratch and claw and kick and scream. But it's gotten so much better. And so I just have to give it up to God, HP today. You know, he is just unbelievable. And so now in this process of me newing, you know, being new in OA, I'm going to do first things first, put down the food, live and let live, and easy does it. Just be gentle with myself. And like the person before me said, it's just, this is all about God, to let God take the wheel and lead me to better things. And that's all I got. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura R. All right. We've got about 4 minutes left, so we can do two-minute shares. Who would like to take those?
Sunny S.
Sunny S. One more.
Randy B.
Randy B. Okay, go ahead, Sunny. Thank you, CJ. Sorry, we'll get you next time. Sunny, please go ahead. You've got 2.5 minutes.
Great. Thank you so much. So this is Sunny S. It's spelled S-A-N-N-E from Colorado. Really happy that I was able to share in this meeting, even if I'm one of the last ones. But the things that popped up for me was, the fact that, like, you know, him throwing a fit of anger, got drunk, so that's like a resentment, and how he was actually wrong. You know, like, he had to mend his spiritual fences. And the way that this relates to me is that when I went into program a couple years ago, I was fairly young. I was recently out of college and living with my mom, and she was shocked that I would do these spiritual programs, especially because it took away from our time. And there was one night specifically where she was crying, and she was like just really hurt by me just spending so much time. And you know, I actually had to leave and take care of myself and go and do the spiritual program. And interestingly enough, you know, where it says seeing is believing to most families who have lived with a drinker, is the fact that, like, a few months later, my mom was the one to say, wow, like, I'm really happy you stood up for yourself, because you're a lot calmer, you can talk easily. Like, there was a huge switch for me. And I could bring that into my family, you know, with my stability and presence and just being able to be there for them in a different way. It goes with the whole, like, first things first, right? First this program, and then, of course, I can be considerate of what's happening around me and the fact that I have some on the people that I care about. But I need to be spiritually fit to even be able to be present and compassionate. So, yeah, with that, I pass. Thank you so much for letting me share this morning.
Well, thank you, Sunny S. Okay, Randy, you'll be our last share. Please go ahead. Press star 1 to unmute.
Hi, this is Randy B. in Washington State, and I am really humbled by these paragraphs. You know, we can say lots of things, but really we need to live it. And it's important for us to remember, you know, that I'm an addict no matter who I'm surrounded by, whether they're spiritually fit or not, whether they're good or bad people. And one of my favorite things to do for years was to blame someone else for my relapse. And I can't blame someone else for being a compulsive overeater or relapsing. Because no matter the circumstances, I'm an addict. I'm a compulsive overeater whether things are going good or things are going bad. And no matter how much I'm nagged, annoyed, or angered, I can't forget who God wants me to be. And I need to be spiritually fit at all times. And if someone is constantly compromising my sobriety, then I think I need to look to God and reflect on that person in my life, and what can I do to heal that relationship, or do I really need this relationship in my life? So just absolutely humbled and so grateful for everyone on the line today, and for that I pass.
Okay, well, we're finishing just a tad early, which is okay. We'll go ahead and close the meeting. You will be our last share today. We'll now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, Apollo followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Wendy M. please read A Vision for You? Wendy, please press star one.
Wendy M. I wasn't expecting. So let's just get my book, and I will do this. Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's Liat TV. No, you're right. Liat, please go ahead.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes, my mistake.
Okay.
Go ahead, Liat.
Okay. Here we go. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answer will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass to you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God, admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road to happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.